Come on, give God the praise. Give God the praise. Give God the praise. I dare you to just stand on your feet right now. Come on, come on. And just give God a praise. I mean, just praise Him. Don't worry about who's beside you. Come on, you got something to shout about. You got something to praise Him for. I mean, you came to church. You might as well just praise Him. Come on, come on. Don't be a spectator. Be a participant. Somebody say, yeah. Woo! Praise God. You may be seated for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people here this morning just glad to be alive? Ain't that something to praise Him for right now? Hallelujah. I remember some time ago I was in so much pain I began to praise God for the pain. Because the pain reminded me I was alive. Could still feel. Amen. That's what said, everything give God the glory and everything give Him the praise. Hallelujah. I'm Reverend Martin Charles Levi Martin. I'm glad to be here in Shiloh. But then again, you know, I'm no stranger to Shiloh. Shiloh is my other home. When I'm not at Unity or preaching somewhere else, I won't be here. Amen. And I relish the opportunity every time to be in this pulpit because God has a way of using you in this place. I just want to thank Him this morning as I come to share a word. I don't know what it'll be yet, but it's coming. Amen. You can say that again. But I just want to introduce you to two beautiful ladies that God has put in my life. My beautiful, gorgeous, vivacious, curvaceous wife. Would you really let people stand, let God see how He blessed me. Amen. There you go. And then He blessed us with a darling of a daughter, Charlize Levine Martin. That's my baby girl. I wanna just give honor to God and to this great pastor of this church who's a friend of mine, a great mentor in the Lord, and I see him working tirelessly for his community and for the kingdom of God. He's a man of great vision, a man of great tenacity. When he grips the bull by the horn, he does not let go. And success, he knows, comes to those who will trust God, trust the vision, don't look back, and don't allow anything to stop him from his calling. So I want you to continue to bless this man and pray for him. Amen. I'm talking about the Reverend Darrell Armstrong. Praise God. Sister, I see you got this beautiful book. It says praise. It's got that hymn in it. Great is thy faithfulness. It's got it in there somewhere? Yeah, please look for it for me. I'm just feeling this in my spirit because God is saying we need to be faithful. And I need to do this before I preach because I know I got a choir behind me. Just in case they don't work out, they'll sing it. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no failing or turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I had needed, thy hand had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, joined with our nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Appease that endureth thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine and 10,000 beside. Come on, come on. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, you I see. All I had needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. One more. Great is thy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your steadfast faithfulness. Lord, you have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. You are a God that we can count on and trust. For your word does not return void, but accomplish that which you sent it. So send your word even now, O God. Be faithful as you have always been. Even in this moment, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd like to read for you from the King James Version, Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 to 15. Shall we stand for the reading of God's word? Philippians, the third chapter, 13 through 15. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind, and reaching forth on the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If it anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
Now, while you're standing, turn to your neighbor, look somebody in the eye, and say to them that a setback is a setup for a comeback. Anybody heard me? Turn to your neighbor, say a setup.
A setback
is a setup
for a comeback.
Please be seated. Amen. 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 A setback is a setup for a comeback. Has anybody here ever had a setback? Until people confess, I ain't putting my hand down because I know some folks ain't being real with me here. Anybody has had some failures? Maybe you understand. Oh, okay, there we go. Now we fessing up. Amen. This morning I come to share the word of God and the message that God has given me this morning to bring is that failure is not final. Failure is not final. I come with this word because we live in a world today where even in America, the suicide rate is so high. People are taking their lives because of some kind of failure they've experienced, some kind of setback that they've experienced, some kind of letdown or some hurdle that came in their way. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary condition. Anybody heard me? Too many people are taking their lives because of the vicissitudes of life, because of the condition in life. And every time I think about this, I look at a brother called Job. Nobody went through hell like Job. He went through a living hell where he lost everything. There were folks who were around him began to say, this man can't have a relationship with God because all this calamity has fallen upon him. Failing to realize that sometimes bad things happen to good people. On one occasion, they came to Jesus and said, this man was born blind. Was it because of his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus said, it got nothing to do with that. His condition is that so we will understand and see the glory of God. Sometimes when we're going through difficulty, we're going through hardship, just be still. And know that God hasn't left you yet. Stop listening to the noises in the marketplace. Stop listening to the mongers who are telling you it's over. And believe God. He said, I will be with you always. Even to the end of the world. Sometimes a bad beginning can make a terrific ending. If you never give up on God. Anybody here has gone through some difficult times? I mean, sometimes when it was so bad that you couldn't even share it with anybody. I mean, trouble was in your way. So badly that you said, God, but where are you? Where are you, God? Some of us in our lives, we forget to look at the example that God has given us through people we know. People around us. Who has gone through troubled waters but come up on dry ground. Well, let me just break it down this way in some things that we read and understood. One of the greatest minds that we consider today is the man called Albert Einstein. Huh? He could not speak until he was 4. He could not learn to read anything until he was 9 years old. The setback was a setup, because he became one of the greatest minds in the 20th century. Let me tell you something. I don't know what setback you've encountered, but I come to let you know God got a breakthrough for you. Well, I know we're in church and some of us like to act holy all the time. We act like we don't know who Luther Vandross is. But I know Luther. I know Luther. Luther was booed 3 times at the Apollo Theater. Booed. Imagine Luther getting booed, but you think he stopped singing? He ended up to sing, to dream the impossible dream, to reach the unreachable for. What we got to do is dream impossible dreams, and when the world tried to kick you down, you bounce right back up. You say, I'm able, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Preaching to somebody this morning. And if I'm preaching to nobody, I'm preaching to myself, because I know some things I've been through. I was in Africa, my father and mother dead, nobody to write affidavit for me, wanted to come to the States. I got on my knees and prayed, and God began to get things out of my way. Hallelujah. How many of you been to Macy's? Oh, the sister's just laughing on that one. Macy's was locked up by IRS for tax evasion. You think that stopped him? Hallelujah. When he got out of jail, he built Macy's there on 34th Street in New York. A store that makes billions of dollars today throughout America and the world. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you, a setback is only temporary if you keep your eyes on the prize. Well, many of us drive cars, but Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, he was bankrupt 5 times. 5 times bankrupt. He never gave up on his dream. Thomas Edison tried 1,000 times to build an incandescent light bulb, and he failed for 1,000 times, but on the 1,001st time he succeeded. And somebody asked him, why come you never quit? He said, every mistake was a step forward. Every mistake I made brought me closer to getting my goal and my reality, a tangible, visible manifestation. Let me tell you something. When faced with a mountain, Robert Shuler writes, I will not quit. I will find a way around the mountain. I will find a way over the mountain, or I will go through the mountain with God's help. I just stay and turn that mountain into a gold mine. A setback is only a setup for a comeback. If you don't quit or give up on your goals. I was looking the other day, and there are only 2 people in the world. The winners and the quitters. The quitter never wins. And the winner never quits. What if the disciples had quit permanently? You know that I said permanently. Because they suffered setbacks. Peter, in the midst of the crowd, when they began to point to him and said, you were one of those who were hanging with this Jesus. He said, no, not me. I know we like to think that those brothers were all right all the time. They were just like us. Men, frail, with weaknesses and shortcomings. Peter denied Jesus when Jesus had told him he would. How many of us have not stood up in the midst of our jobs, our offices, our family, to let people know that we can testify of Jesus? How many of us in the midst of the profanity that we hear in the office don't try to correct somebody, we just go by? How many of us are silent when we ought to speak? I watched Donald Trump the other day say, "Well, am I supposed to defend Obama?" Listen, man, you ought to stand up if you're going to be president and have a voice to speak up when something is wrong. Martin Luther King said, if you don't speak up, you're always wrong. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. Peter betrayed Jesus with his silence. He betrayed him when he walked away. And we betray him every time we get an opportunity to witness of him. And we don't. But he was a disciple of Jesus. Not only Peter, but we know Judas betrayed him. Betrayed him and sold him out with a kiss. My God. What a paradox. The point I'm trying to make is that even though Peter denied Jesus, he found the weakness that he had and he cried, he lamented, he started all over again, and he bounced back and became one of the stalwart men. After the crucifixion, he went out preaching. Some of us have fallen down. We've made mistakes. People that look down at us have said, it's over. But I come to tell you, it ain't over till God says it's over. He ain't through with you yet, because while there is life, there is hope. Don't stop dreaming. Don't give up on that thing that God placed on the inside of you. I come to tell you, age got nothing to do with it.
All right.
If you're still here, he's got a purpose for you. Some of us wanted to be doctors and lawyers. Some of us wanted to be whatever we wanted to be, and somehow life knocked you down. Folks in your family tell you, you are going to amount to nothing. You're not going to be anybody. But you are. Somebody. Wonderfully made, created in the image and likeness of your Father. And he says, above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. God wants you to succeed. Don't listen to anybody else. Listen to his word. I've been knocked down and I'm only 60 years old. Yeah, I know I look good. That's a joke. True joke, though. But had I allowed the things that I've suffered in my life thus far to hinder me, sharing with the deacon, I wouldn't be walking today. I wouldn't have the flexibility of my hands today. But that setback was a setup. For me to come back better than I ever was. I'm stronger now than then. I run better now than before. I'm a better health than before. The devil meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament of this general called Naaman. You know the general? General Naaman. The general was a man of high prestige. He stood up in high places and he vaunted his power and the position he was in. The Bible said Naaman was a good man, but he had, say it, leprosy. And leprosy was the curse of that day and time. In fact, it was worse than AIDS. It was more like Ebola. When you got it, it was over. But there was a young girl who had seen the work of the prophet who could bear witness that God is still in the healing business. So she tells the prophet, if you go and find the prophet, tells Naaman, if you find the prophet, you can find healing. And so he travels to where the prophet is, and the prophet tells him, go and dip 7 times in the pool, in the River Jordan. Hallelujah. The thing that God would tell us to do sometimes, it seemed almost insignificant, of no value. And here Naaman said, I'm a general. You want me to go dip in the dirty River Jordan? Sometimes God tells us to do something and we say, wait a minute. Yeah, no, not me. I'm a deacon. All right, nothing personal, John. No, not me. I'm a man of high prestige. Tell the sister to do something. Oh, no, I ain't dealing with that crowd. I ain't going to that place. I'm bougie. Amen. The point I'm trying to make is, they told him where to go and he refused to do it because it was not what he wanted. It was not what he expected. He thought the prophet would tell him to go and do something magnificent. And so he turned around and began to go back home with his leprosy. Sometimes God wants us to do certain things so we can overcome certain conditions. He wants us to do certain things so he can elevate us. But in our own mind, it's petite, it's too small. Am I preaching here? So he's going back home with his leprosy, still sick, still dying, still crippled, still on heels, still smelling stink. Because some of us got stink attitude. It's all right. But the little girl who was a slave girl turned to him and said, but wait a minute, General. Forgive me. I know I'm stepping out of order, but if the prophet had told you to do something magnificent, you would do it, right? But because he told you to go in the pool, why don't you go in the River Jordan like he said? So reluctantly, Naaman go back. And he dips in the river 7 times. When he comes out after the 7th time, he's healed. Sometimes God will put setback in our lives, sickness in our situation, sometimes a health condition, folks. I'm trying to tell you something, only so that we can rely on him, because when we rely on him, we come out. A setback is a setup to come back. But you can only come back if you don't give in, if you don't quit, if you keep your faith. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't always see it. But you got to keep going. So Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. And I know, you know, I think he's right. If I'm walking through hell, why stop? I mean, if you're going through some trouble, don't lose sight of your dream. Keep marching through it, knowing that God is going to make a way somehow. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Some way, somehow, God's going to come my way. Man, we sing the song all the time, but I'm not sure we believe it. We sing through it all. Yeah. Through it all. I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust his word. Yeah. He gave me trials. Yeah. Just to make me strong. You got to go through it to get to it. I'm trying to tell you something. Life is not easy. Life is tough. Being a Christian is not easy. It is tough. But we don't give up. We don't give in. We press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to finish here. Jesus says, follow my example. Look at his example. He came to save us at any cost. His eyes were fixed on the prize. And let me tell you something. Before he began that journey, he had to struggle. The Bible tells us he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying and he sees what's coming his way and he said, Lord, take this cup from me. Yeah. I had a preacher one time, he says, it's a bitter pill and it's hard to swallow. Yeah, Jesus, see what's going to come. He sees that there's going to be a mockery of a trial.
Folks gonna bear false witness against him in the court. The judge gonna find him blameless, but still send him to the cross.
I say it all the time. I know the Pope is right now visiting the prison this morning, but there are a lot of our young black men who are locked up, incarcerated, who's innocent. We see it all the time. Police bear false witness. Dock up the evidence. Perpetrate on these young men and lock them up sometimes for life. But every now and then we see someone come up and he says, you know what, I never give up. I never lost hope. I never stopped praying. I never stopped trusting that there's going to be an intervention. Give Jesus a mockery of a trial. Brought him in the street. Put thorns on his head. Spat on him while he walked with the load of a heavy cross on his back. Only one black man helps him with the weight of the cross. He walks to Golgotha's hill, bleeding, scarred, back's been whipped so bad, the flesh running down on him, blood flowed mingled down, but he was going to go through it. For the world, it was a setback. For the world, it was a hurdle. For the world, it was the end. But he did it for you. And he did it for me.
Yeah.
For many of us would have said, Lord, I ain't doing this. Too much. But the Bible said, for this cause he came. They hung him up on the cross. After nailing him in his feet and in his hands. What a setback to salvation. But that wasn't the end. Thank God that setbacks are not permanent. Thank God that me not having a job today don't mean I won't have a better one tomorrow. Thank God because my marriage is right now rocket that God will not put it on smooth sailing. Thank God right now because I have a condition doesn't mean like Naaman, I can't get a healing. A setback is a setup for a comeback. I dare you to trust God. I dare you, whatever it is that you've given up on, go dust it off. Go dust it off. Because the Jesus that they hung on the cross and called dead. Hey! On the third day, when everybody knew it was over, the Bible says that he shook. I like to put it this way. You know, he's the rock of my salvation, Brother Jerry. They put the rock in a rock and put a rock at the mouth of the rock to keep the rock within the rock. The rock shook and the rock got up and said, all power is in my hands. That power that's in his hands is in your hands too. But he said, greater work will ye do who are my disciples. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you know sometimes you fall down, but get back up again. Sometimes you fail, but try again. Mama used to say, if at first you don't succeed, try, 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 try again. It doesn't matter how many times you fall down. The Bible says a righteous man falleth seven times, but he gives up. Some of us made a commitment to Jesus.
I'll serve the usher boy. I'll serve in the choir. I'll serve Sunday school. I'll serve in the church. You started serving, but you back off. You started following him, but you backslid. I don't care how many times you fail. Get back. Get back. Get up. Get up. Stand up. Because when you stand up, he will see you through. Hey! Hey!
I believe right now, and I believe in my spirit. I believe in my spirit. Somebody want to start the walk all over. You don't know how many times I started my walk all over. Because I am perfect. Preachers like to pretend sometimes that they are. I'm not. I fall down, but I get up. I'm keep getting up. If there's somebody here who wants to get up again, come on, deacons. We invite you to come. Maybe you're a member of the church already, but you've been struggling with something. I come to tell you, we're going to pray for your deliverance today. If anybody needs deliverance from something, I don't know, care what it is. I don't want to know what it is. Just raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand where you are. Come on, those of you with your hands up, don't worry about it. Come, let's get our blessing. Come up, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Those of you who want to come back, who want to overcome that setback. Come on, come on, come on. Don't worry about who's there. You're about to get your deliverance. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Move the heart of your people, Lord. Hey, hey, hey. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hey. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. Come on, choir, keep singing. Somebody else want to come. Somebody else want to come. Huh. He will.
Life abundantly. Oh, come.
Hallelujah. Come while the choir is still singing. Come while they're still singing. Oh, there's a turning point. There's a turning point. Come.
You who are weary and heavy laden. Come.
Will you come? Will you come?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
You who are weary and heavy laden, oh come. Come on.
Hallelujah. The word of God says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Cast your bread upon the waters and ye shall find it after many days. Father, we come in your name, that name above every name, that name which is redemptive, that name which restores us to our place of anointing, our place of fellowship with you. Lord, we yearn for that closeness once more, where we met you at the cross. Father, you know the setbacks and the difficulties in the lives of your people. Turn it around. Turn it around, Lord. Turn it around, Lord. Lord, we reflect on the scripture by Brother Jerry this morning in your prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Here they are, Lord, humble before you and pray. Lord, they're praying. Lord, they're seeking your face. You said, I will hear from heaven. Lord, hear from heaven, Lord. Take away the difficulty, Lord. Lord, make it smooth, Lord. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal. Not just the land, but their hearts. Their hearts, Lord. Make a way out of no way, God. Not only for those who came, but those who are standing in the congregation with heads lifted up, with head bowed, with hearts bowed. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may return to your seats. We got but a few moments. If there was someone here today who's decided to make Jesus Lord, anyone, just one, deacons will pray with you. Just raise your hand. That's all we ask. Just one. Hallelujah. Come, my sister. Come, my sister. Decided to make Jesus Lord. Come, my sister. Come, my sister. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Heaven rejoice for just one. Just one. Just one. Just one. Is there another who decided today, I will make him Lord. I will make him Lord. Listen. Now is the time. Now is the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.